Ezra perek shmini, if perek. Ve'ele roshe avotehem vihit yachasam. And these are the members, the leaders of the families that I mentioned earlier when I was Zocha. I told you before that I was Zocha, says Ezra. Remember, this is all first person from the time it switches to Ezra. And we'll see there's a point at which the first person ends, but we'll discuss why. And the following were the people that I managed to convince to come with me, which was a great siyata d'shmaya. And these were the Roshei Avot, who also had with them the Hityachasam. In other words, they had a Tav Yichus that showed that they were indeed the ones from the families that had come up, that linked them all the way to the Yud Beit Shiftei Yisrael. In other words, they were able to show that they came from Levi, or that they came from Binyamin or Yehuda, and as we saw, Tosfos says, it wasn't only from those families that had come earlier. We spoke about the Yichus of Yehuda and Binyamin. We didn't list anybody else, according to some. That even explained why the numbers were off, because at the final count included all of the Asarat HaShvatim. Okay, but here we have a second Aliyah, and this second Aliyah, these are Roshei Avot, came along with their Yichus, and they could prove that they were indeed directly from these families, from reliable Yichusim all the way back. And these were the ones, opposed to those who had come up originally with Zerubbabel at the time of Koresh. These were the ones who came with me years later in the Malchut of Artakshasta. So there was Mibnei Pinchas, from the family of Pinchas. The representative was Gershom. So each one of these first mentions one of the primal families that had come out from Mitzrayim, or were in the counts in the Midbar, or were well known at the time of the Churban. And then there was a member of that family that's listed that had that Ketav Yichus, that he went all the way back. So in this case, Gershom is clearly from Pinchas, and he shows that he's from Pinchas. And then each one of these had people that came with him in his foot. In some cases, they're enumerated, as we'll see. From Itamar was Daniel. From David was Hattush. From Bnei Shechanya, now there are two Shechanyas, because of that, we're going to see later another Shechanya. There was a Shechanya Bnei Chaziel. In order to distinguish this Shechanya from the other Shechanya, it mentions Mibnei Parosh. Otherwise, it wouldn't have needed to do that, because Shechanya was actually well known. But it was Zechariah. V'imo hityachez lezecharim me'avachamishim. Besides he himself, there were 150 males, meaning together with their families, who also were able to be mityachez back, at least to him, and then were also, therefore, members of the Yichus of this family. Mibnei Pachat Moav, and as we saw earlier in the first count, Pachat Moav was mentioned there too, but it was Machlokes in the Gemara. It's a reference to David, or a reference to those who were the nephews of David, were involved with David, but they're all called Pachat Moav because of the fact that they were the governors of Moav, in the sense that they came from Ruta Moaviyah. Pachat, of course, is a lashon of the Pachaz, the governor. El Yehoenai ben Zerachiah, together with the Imo Mataim Azecharim. Bimnei the other Shechanya, Shechanya ben Yechaziel, there was also the Imo, Shalosh Meot Azecharim. From Adin Eved, this doesn't mean he was an Eved, I mean, that's his Losh, Adin Eved. Ben Yonatan, the Imo, Chamishim Azecharim. Bimnei Elam Yeshaya ben Atalia, the Imo Shivim Azecharim. Mibnei Shefatia, Zavadia ben Michael, v'imo Shimonim Azecharim. Mibnei Yoav, Ovadia ben Yechiel, v'imo 218 Azecharim. Mibnei Shelomit ben Yosifia, v'imo 160 Azecharim. It's interesting that Shlomit was a male's name at the time of the Churban. Mibnei Veivai, as we already saw, we still in the Gemara were using this Veivai, which everybody mispronounces Rav Bibi. It's Rav Veivai Barabaye. But Mibnei Veivai, Zecharia ben Veivai, V'imo 28 Azecharim. Mibnei Azgad, Yochanan ben Akatan, V'imo 110 Azecharim. Mibnei Adonikam Acharonim. Why do we say Acharonim? Because we already saw the members of his family. There were, of course, that was the Antichrist, I guess, 666. There were 666 of them listed in the original Aliyah. So that almost the entire family had made Aliyah. These were the Achronim. These were the last ones that had been left behind in Babel. And now they came along with Ezra, and that finished that entire family in Babel. So here they're called the Achronim. So Bibnei Adonikam Acharonim, Ve'ele Shmotam. The last ones to be left there were Eli Pellet, which means God got him out of there. Rescue him. Ye'i'el u'shma'ya ve'imahem shishim azacharim. U'bibnei bigvai u'tai ve'zakur ve'imahem shiv'im azacharim. So those were the leaders. Now, this is not meant to be a complete list, but these were the ones that were miyuchasim, and that were the leaders that had come with them together with their families. Ve'ekbitzeim el hanahar haba el ahava. I gathered all of these people to the river that goes to the Ahava. That's the Mashmaut, Ahava el Ahava. Not that it is the river Ahava, as many understand it. And indeed, as we saw earlier, the Mefarshim say that there were artificial canals that had been and many of the places that we spoke about, including Tel Aviv, had been built along those shipping channels that were artificially dug out, so that the Nahar Ahava el Ahava could simply mean the canal that came to the Ahava, where others learn, one of the tributaries of the Ahava. So it isn't even mentioned by its own name. It wasn't chashuv enough to have its own name, but it was one of the channels, one of the tributaries that led into the Ahava. And there we rested for Yamim Shelosha. Now, the Gemara derives from here that there was no activity during those 3 days. First thing that happens after those 3 days is that Ezra declares a Ta'anit, Tvila, Tachanunim, and here, for 3 days, he doesn't do anything. The Gemara derives from here, halacha lemaisa. Somebody goes on a trip. When he comes back from the trip, he's not to daven for 3 days. Because you see that he says that we needed that time to rest. And indeed, the Gemara brings that was the minute among the Tanoim and Amoraim. If they had gone on a trip, they wouldn't daven for 3 days. Shmuel wouldn't daven if there was a smell of beer in the house. And the level of their kavana was such that it was a bizoyin for them to daven when they weren't able to completely focus their mind. Lamaisa, throughout the generations, there's been halacha lamaisa, this has been lessened. You know, well, until it got to the point where the Mishabura says, well, we're no mechavan anyway, so what's the difference? You know? Who cares if you're going to be mechavan or not? Because anyway, we just daven sort of as a zecher bi'alma that there used to be such a thing called davening. So you might as well daven. Though there's a prisha who points out that they're different than yanim here. It's not only the question of not being able to rest, it's also the need to be metapo with your needs first, your health first. That's so poshut that it shouldn't be nagia bismanas. But in any event, that's the minhag that we no longer do this. Although he says, I mean, the lashon of the prisha is venir lid afagav danan lo nagin ankein. Even though we are not noyak to take off 3 days for a bomen aderek, haynu mitam she anu ein bechavnim kokach betfilah kemo bezmanayim mikomakom. A tam she patur abba min aderek at shlosha yamim is also mipnei she nechalash machmatir dat aderek. It's not only that he can't be mechavim; it's because he's weak and has to take care of his health. And that's not batel. Otam lo nitbatel v'shayach gam kein bezmanenu. Therefore, there's elements that are nogea. Even bismanenu, particularly the halacha of saying the bracha that you survive the trip for hagaymel and so on. Is it too long afterwards? No, because you're still feeling the trip. So he wants to connect this to various halachas, even though we're not mevatel the tefila.
So this is the trip we're discussing. Ezra is now on the way to Eretz Israel.
Right, but they stopped before crossing over the Euphrates. They stopped, and he wanted to make a count of what he had. And there he is, the Avina Va'am. He's discussing everything, and he's going to see exactly who there is. And I find out, Ubakoanim, and I find out there's no Leviim. Ne Levi lo matzati shem. Now, this is rather strange, because, I mean, what was the problem? We know not only were there Leviim that had gone with Zerubbabel, but there were Leviim that had already settled the Arei Leviim. That's what it mentioned when they arrived originally, in the beginning of the Sefer, that the Leviim went to Areihem, and the Kohanim went to Abinah. So what's his concern? What's he so upset about? So as we mentioned earlier, the approach of the Psikta, the Tosis brings this, I didn't see the Psikta, but Tosis brings this as his Pirish, that so does Rashi, that there were plenty of Leviim, but none of them were kosher. Because as we already saw, those Leviim, and the diet that the Psikta makes, is from Eich Nashira Chir Hashem. What do you mean, Eich? You want to say you're not? Say, Lo Ashira Chir Hashem. Eich means they're maimed. We don't have fingers. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to play our musical instruments? Eich Nashira, I'd expect us to play. So in other words, they had maimed themselves in order not to be able to pay. But if that's the case, they weren't able to play in the Beis HaMikdash either. So that means, and he was concerned that he didn't have those people. Okay, not everybody agrees. Others learned that he felt it was a bizoyah, that he he's coming up, there shouldn't be Levim with him. Even if there were Levim there, why wouldn't there be Levim that would come with the leaders that were coming at this point with him? After all, the whole point of his aliyah was to be miyased, the new level of Kedusha. The Levim are called the Mevinimah. So they're not going to come up. They're the ones that I need the most. As the Gemara said, that's their job. So if they're not going to be Malave as Levim, how are we ever going to be able to build what we need to build? Irregardless of whether they were able to be Mishorer in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's a completely different approach. It makes a lot of sense. But I immediately felt I needed to respond to that. And I'm not going to go without Levim. And so Vish, Lecha, Le'eliezer, Le'ariel, Le'shamaya, Le'elnatan, Le'uliyariv, Ule'elnatan, Ule'natan, Uvelizechaya, Ve'lemeshulam, Rashim. Now there were different, there were Rashim, some of these are Rashim, but there were also Mivinim, people that had, that were teachers, people that were recognized for their opinion, and that he sent them back to persuade these Levim to come, that they would respond. Ule'yoyariv, Ule'elnatan, Mivinim. These, maybe they were also Rashim, that they were very Chashev, but they were Mivinim, they were famous speakers. And I sent them to be able to make an impact. They went, Atzavel Tam Alido, I sent to them that they should be the ones. I was mitzavah them to go and to speak to the individual that was in charge. And that was a fellow named Ido, not Ido, with an ayin, which is the Zechariah ben Ido and Ido and Avi that we're used to. This is Ido HaRosh, who was in Chasifya HaMakom. Now, Chasifya HaMakom is a very strange language. What does that mean, HaMakom? Because the fact is that there were two other Chasifya. There was Chasifya, the province, and there was Chasifya, the river. So in order to distinguish it from the Malchus of Chasifya and the Nahar Chasifya, or the channel of Chasifya, so he stresses Chasifya HaMakom. It's very much like we have in some contracts, we mention the name of a city. We say the name of the city, New York, and then we say Mata, the city, New York, which is on the Hudson River. So that's basically the same thing. He's coming to identify what we're talking about. So the Chasifya HaMakom, the Asima Befiem Dvarim, I went over with them exactly what the presentation should be to explain why they better come, these Levim. The Daber al Ido Achiv, it's interesting that Rashi learns that the Ido Achiv is the name of the man, not to his friend Ido, but to Mr. Ido Achiv, who was of the Hanitinim. So now the question is, what does Nitinim mean? Is it really that these were Nitinim? That's difficult to believe. And indeed, the Ktav is Nitunim. So somewhere, Nitanim over here is sort of just a play on Nitanim. These were the ones who needed to be there because the Melech had placed them in that place in Kaspia. But not that they really were Nitinim. Others learn that Enochinami, the Tinim, had been settled there. These were Roshim. We want people to be sitting there and working in the Beis HaMikdash. Because of this, that refrain again, everything is credited to the Yad Hashem that has turned Litova on us. And this was a brilliant guy, Ish Sechel, Mibnei Machli ben Levi ben Yisrael, who was traced directly back to Machli. Remember Machli and Mushi. So this was the Mishpachot, as we'll see, of Merari. That he himself, this guy, was a tremendous man, a great Talmud Chacham, a man who knew how to get things done. That's what we call him, not just a Chacham, but a man of tremendous Seichel. And that guy was able to bring along with him Vishay Ravya, Uvanav, Vyachav, Shmonasa, Vet Chashavya, nice name, huh? Vito Yishaya, Mibnei Mirari, Hechav, Uvnehem, Esrim. So at least I had the primary workers, who were the Levim themselves, and I had Minan Netinim, Shenatan David, Vahasarim, Vavodat HaLevim. Even though a lot of the Netinim had come before, these were special Netinim that had been given over specifically for the Avoda of the Levim. They weren't just low-class citizens who may happen to make their money by being water drawers and so on. But rather, they were miyuchad for the Levim. Why is this important? Because we saw before that there was an attempt to take out all of the psula yichus from Bavel. So why were these guys allowed to stay there the whole time? Must be because since they were miyuchad for the Levim, they were very well known, identifiable, and everybody knew that they were Netinim. They weren't just gypsies that were wandering around. So these were the ones that I wanted to take with me. And these were the ones that were left. And therefore, the Pasuk stresses that there were 220 of them, each one known by his name. Kulam nikbu b'shemot, which would make it clear why it is that we weren't chayish for the problems of Yichus that we saw before. We didn't want to leave behind. These people were left behind without any danger. Before we continue, I would like Reb Barnea to tell us over some of the fascinating additional lore that is associated with these moments of Ezra, that actually, they actually were Nogea this week, remarkably as usual, but they were actually Nogea this week in Gerba with the rescue of the 20 or 21 people out of Gerba this very week. So this was the Maisa, the famous Maisa. Gerba is the famous Maisa of the letter of Ezra that went unresponded to with disastrous results.
Sion Batichi is the gabbai of the Ortar Shul in Akko, which is the Kohanim from Ezra. And he says that Ezra sent a message to them and to Yemen saying, come back. And they said no. So the people from Yemen, Ezra cursed them that they should be under the power of the Malchus. They should never rise to power. And they should be Aniyim Murudim. They cursed them back. He shouldn't be buried in Eretz Israel. And that's why he's buried in Bavel. And the people in Gerba, he cursed them. They had a shul there. There's a shul there that's 2,400 and some years old now, according to their account. They have a date of its Yisud. And they didn't want to come back. So he said, okay, no Levim should live. And Ad Hayom, the community is either Kohanim or Yisraelim, because they were Kohanim from Yedaya who were saved by sailors from Zvulun. But there's no Levim. And in the 1920s, there was a French attaché. His name was Joseph Levy. And they told him, you really should leave. And he didn't. And 10 months later, he was dead.
Wow.
Those Levim who do go there just to tour, make sure not to stay overnight. This is Ad Hayom. It's a place that's known to be dangerous for Levim. Ve'ekrasham, and so I had a little bit of a problem, as Ezra is about to explain. This is an amazingly cute and beautiful story. It seems that Ezra had been teaching the king. King, Artaxerxes. One of the things that made this massive impression on Artaxerxes was that this hashgacha and that Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to support those who are his Yireim. He supports them no matter what. And anybody who attempts to be Eimet, Keneged, his Rotzen is destroyed. And we see Artaxerxes is really nervous. I don't want to get him angry at me. So make sure that you make up this other chotemet, that you bring karbanes. So as Ezra is about to explain, I was embarrassed to ask him for any military attaches. Because I had told him that we don't need any of that. So now I'm in big trouble. Because what am I going to come back to him and explain to him that there's a different din, if it's Shechicha Hazeka? This was after they had already heard that there was a plan, as we saw before, that this army of 180,000 of these Kutim that really had planned to head them off and steal all of the Kesev Azov and kill all of them and so on. See, he was really terrified because what he needed was an army with him. But he couldn't very well go and explain to the king when it comes to Maisa, of course, there's a halach of Sheikh Azeka named Senchanel Amais. You understand, the guy would have looked at him a little bit, So as he explains, I was just too embarrassed. So therefore, he needed to have this tainus in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be meichel him for needing to be seimech al hanes under these circumstances. It shouldn't cause a chil Hashem. And therefore, we wouldn't go until I was sure that we were going to make it. For, says Ezra, ve'ekra sham tzom al hanahar ahava le'itanot lifnei Eloheinu levakesh bimenu derech yishara lanu letapenu lechor ruchushenu. I mean, an absolutely stunning tupsukim. Why did I have to have this song? Because this was a tefillat haderech. We needed a derech yeshara for ourselves, for our children, for all of the immense money that we were bringing with it. But, you know, you understand, I wouldn't have normally have made a song. I just would have brought an army. But I needed to make the song. I was embarrassed to ask the king, for chayil for Hashim la'azreinu, what am I going to tell him? I need tanks? I need soldiers? To save us from an oyev baderach? When all these years I've been telling the king, ki amarnu lamelech lemor, yad Eloheinu al kol mevakshav, our God's hand is with all those who are searching for him l'tova. And anybody that turns against him, he's angry at, and his power is used against him. Now, obviously, I didn't really believe any of that. But what could I do? I painted myself into a corner. That's all you need to do is be convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do it your way. I understand that that's a terrible thing to do. So, but in order to avoid a Chilul Hashem, I felt that I shouldn't ask. And instead, I should be mevakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially to be ozer. V'natzuma v'navaksham Eloheinu azot. And so we fasted, and we were mispalel about this issue. Vayeater lanu, and he responded to us. Now, some Rashi says, I mean, what do you mean, vayeater lanu? Vayeater lanu. We saw in the end, we made it. So this is now, in retrospect, I'm saying vayeater lanu. Obviously, that's not the Pashtus. And indeed, the other Mefarshim learned, we weren't going to leave until we knew it was safe. And after this Tanit, either the Nevi'im that were with him, or if he himself is Malachi, his own Nevi'is, vayeater lanu, they were given a message that a mekabel this tefillah, you don't have to worry about the derech. So this is the ultimate tefillat haderech. But here, again, remarkably, there is a diak in the Gemara from the word al-zot, on this. What do you mean on that? Obviously, I mean, that's what we're talking about. And so the Gemara says, you see from here, that if you're making a tanit and a special tzaka, it can only be on one thing. Al-zot. You can't have a list of things. You have a list of things, then the whole thing is just becomes not a joke. It's like what you feel with the list that people bring up for the chaylim that they don't know. Once we're asking, I also read on the internet that there's this guy who's sick and that guy who's sick. And everybody just throws up their hands already. So you're making this big what is the issue? Well, I figured as long as I'm here, you know, we've been having some plumbing problems. What is the issue? So there needs to be a focus on what the issue is. You don't bring a tzibur together, have a long list of things, and we have all of these problems. So we figure we'll lump it all together and make a special day where you can handle all of our problems. And this is actually a yesod from this halacha. There's even complicated issues that come up in the Gemara where there were two issues that needed to be dealt with. The question needed to be determined which one is more important to deal with. And that's because this is a real limitation. It's not an eitz hatov. So despite the attractiveness of the target, the haftocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given to them that they could go, and at that point, they were ready to leave. But now it's time to do whatever can be done in terms of the Yishtatlut. And so as soon as Vayayater Lanu, Ezra turns to the Avdila Misarei HaKohanim Shnei Masar, and I separated out from the other Sarim, is what it seems to be saying, 12 special strong men that were supposed to be the knights. And here it's very curious because it mentions the Sherevya Chashavya Vimahem Me'acheyem Asara. Now the problem is, of course, that Sherevya and Chashavya were precisely the two that had led the groups of Levim as part of the response of Ido when he sent all those people to Ido. And the Ishmaskil now and it comes along now, these people, and they bring along the rest of the Levim. How did they suddenly become Kohanim? It's very, very strange. There's a number of different approaches on this. In the Medrash, the Mashma'ut is that this is two separate lists. In other words, Vavdila Misarei HaKohanim, Shemasar, plus Lishiravya Cheshavya V'Yemiracheya Masara, another 12 Levim. The meaning of that would have been that it would be similar to the Shmira in the Beit HaMikdash itself, where you had Kohanim that were watching me, Bifnim Levim Mibachud. So that each Mokom of Shmira had Kohanim and Levim, a Kohen and Levi. That way, what he was doing now was part and parcel of the actual connection to the Beit HaMikdash. That would explain whatever the meaning of it is, but it would explain the Shitot of those who hold that there were plenty of Levim who were not Psulim, who weren't Balimum, that had bit off their thumbs, that were living in Eretz Yisrael already. Those were the Arei HaLevim, not like Rashi Taisers. And that what Ezra wanted was Levim with him. Why did he need Levim with him? Now we see a completely different insight, that even though he had the people that he felt could be trusted with the Shmira of the money, nonetheless, he wanted them to be both Kohanim and Levim. That's one approach, which is very exciting, because it connects the entire trip, just as we saw earlier, the need for music, and the original trip, and they had an orchestra. They viewed it as part of the actual Aveda. The going itself is part of the actual Aveda. And therefore, they saw this as well as requiring the Levim. Others learned that when it says over here, but it's simple, before Shamikra, understand that what it means is that I sent to those who were under the Sarei HaKohanim, and the ones who were under the Sarei HaKohanim were these Levim who were working now. In other words, so from the Sarei HaKohanim, the Rishus of the Kohanim, I took 12 because these Levim had been given over now earlier to the Aveda of the Kohanim with the Netinim and so on. So I took 12 out of there, which were the Sherevya, Chashavya, and 10 of the others. They had been led originally by Sherevya, Chashavya, who were apparently leaders, not only in terms of their intellectual powers, but they were capable of protecting under threat here of an attack by pirates. They were capable of protecting them from the Somalis, or in this case, the Kutaim. And I actually measured out for them. We counted, as we'll see later, it's part of it's a count and a weighing. I weighed out all of the silver and the gold and the various kelim that had been sent, all of which was Trumat Beit Eloheinu. Trumat Beit Eloheinu points out the Ramban that that word Truma is only used as a reference to a particular item, as a noun. It's only used in two places throughout Tanakh, in terms of Kohanim, gifts to the Kohanim that we call Truma, and gifts to the Mishkan of the Beit HaMikdash we call Truma. This is one of the examples that he brings, of where we find the word Truma, not as a description of how it got there, but as a noun. This is Truma to Beit Elokeinu. So these were the things that had been given from HaHeirimo HaMelech, V'Yoatzav, V'Sarav, that had been given by the king, by the inner cabinet that we saw earlier, apparently the ones who had been encouraged to give, to be mitnadev, were the sarim that were under a bit of pressure to give. It doesn't look like there was a great response from the umot ha'olam that had been requested to give originally. The Chol Yisrael and Nimtzeim, and all those who were still left behind in Babel. And when I waited out, it was kesev kikarim 650 talents of silver, together with the kelim, that each one of which, Rashi understands, is that there was a kikar in each kli of these kelim. This one just means the total. And zahav me'ak kikar. Then there was also ichforei zahav, esrim la barkonim. There were also chiforei zahav. This is, again, we talked about chiforei zahav earlier, and the idea of chiforei zahav is that they are mechaper. So these are references Rashi brings many times, both in his Pirush and the Gemara and his Pirush and Chumash. The lotion of kippur, kapara, is something that cleanses off, because these were used for taking the blood off of your finger on the inside rim, and these were the containers for the zrikas hadam. These were esrim. Now, most learn la darkonim elef, that they were worth a tremendous amount of money because they were made out of gold, so they were worth darkons, 1,000 darkons. But Rashi learns that this was a separate donation. Besides the zahav, they also contained within them elef darkonim, inside of the, so it was like a glorified gift inside of the kippurim. Uchlei nechoshet mutzav tova shnaim chamudot kazahav. And then there were also special kelim that were made out of nechoshet, so they were bronze, but they were mutzav. Sounds like they were maybe coated with gold, but they were gold color for sure. Excellent quality. Shnaim, two of those, chamudot kazahav, which were as desirable as gold. Now, lemaisa, this is a very strange, what is that supposed to mean? We're talking about their value, we're talking about, I mean, how could nechoshet possibly be worth the same amount as zahav? So there's a beautiful gemara, we mentioned some of this gemara that talked about that incredible, this is a gemara in Erechim, that talked about the beautiful shovel in the Beit HaMikdash that was built in such a way that it was actually a musical instrument capable of 1,000 different tones, according to one man, because in other words, there were 10 keys on it, each one of which was capable of generating 10 separate tones. According to Maman Yomar, each one of those keys had an insert that was another flute-like thing that could also modulate those 10 tones such that it generated 10 times 10 of each one of them, which is 1,000 altogether. There were 10 holes initially. That's the shovel. But part of that Gemara discusses this particular pasuk. And the way the Gemara understands it's actually a machlok, there's a number of different explanations. However, whatever the explanations are, and I'll get back to them, the end result of the Gemara is that what it's referring to here is Elu Shnei Kelim Nishtairu Mimigdash Rishon. These were two very special kelim. That's why we're making a big deal of shnayim. In the list of all these expensive things that were donated, shnayim. These were very special kelim that had been left over from the first Beit HaMikdash that were being brought. Now, there were many things that had been sent back, we saw before, that had been sent back by Koresh originally, and he had the whole thing given over and brought them out of the Nebuchadnezzar storage house and everything. So what is the Gemara saying? These were shnayim. It says that there was something special about these two kelim. And what was special was that they were nitpagmu. Something happened to them in transit. They were damaged by the korban. So it was the mark of the korban on them. And there's a what these two things were, says the Gemara, was a special pair of extremely thinly manufactured tzilzalim, as it was simple, and hayakolo arev. It was extraordinarily beautiful. Rashi says with the material was so delicate and so thin, the lotion of nechoshet mutzav in other sukkim is referred to as memurat, which according to Rashi means it's actually bendable. It was so soft. Because of that, it would generate an extremely kolod dak. It was an extremely delicate tone, not the way that you use it to get with the crashing cymbals. And what happened was that it was damaged. The Gemara tells the story that they were nifgam. Now, there were, Alexandria at the time was famous for its omani, or craftsmen. They could fix anything. They charged a tremendous amount of money, the Chachamim sent, for experts to come in from Alexandria, Shem Mitzrayim, and they fixed it. V'tiknu, and it did not sound as good. As they fixed it, it just never got back that sound. They had to, so they had to put it back to the way it was and take off what had been fixed and wreck it the way it had been, and then it sounded great again. And there was another thing, which was the other, that's the Shnayim. Shnayim, the more point sound, the way to understand this is doubled. They were also Shniyim, because each one had two parts. Obviously, symbols requires two parts. The other kli was a machteshet. And a machteshet, generally speaking, it's like a mortar and pestle kind of thing, where you grind things with. What's the big deal? The big deal is that the Bisamim, unbelievably, was made of music. So that's why you needed to talk as you made the Bisamim. The sound that's generated at the time of the creation of the Bisamim was such that it had an impact on the actual smell of the Bisamim. Because of that, they had to have a special machteshet that, because the way that it was used, the tones that are generated, and it too was damaged. And there too, they said that spent a tremendous amount of money. Umanim Alexander Shom Mitzrayim v'tiknuhu. It never worked as well again. V'lo hayta mefatemet kmo shehayta. Natlu et tikuna v'hayta mefatemet kmo shehayta. They had to put it back to the way it was broken, and at least that way it worked. Eilu shnei kelim. This is the shlayim that it refers to over here, that were nishtairu mimigdash rishon. There was no way to fix it. There was no human way to fix it. And that is what David was referring to. Back in Malachim, we talk over there about Nechoshet Mimorat, or Dirayomim, the posik that refers to these kelim as Nechoshet Maruk. And that's what it's referring to here in Ezra. Shnayim Chamudot, and the Chamudot is Kazahav. And here it's a Machlok, is Rav Shmuel. One Mandi Omer says each one of them was worth two of Zahav. And Rav Yosef said together two of them were Shoko, like one of Zahav. But in any event, these were absolutely unique kelim. And the Gemara Darshan's on this kli is what it says. Al yitalel chacham bechochmato, val yitalel gibor begvurato, el bezot yitalel amitalel. Don't you think that because you're a great craftsman, you can put this back? But as the Mefarshim say, the kelim that were made in the first Beit HaMikdash were made, hakol bechtav miyad Hashem alai yizkiyo kol melechet hatavni. According to that, even the kelim were made with a different chokhmah that wasn't accessible even to the greatest of craftsmen. And the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash affected them permanently, so that any attempt at human interference was just making things worse. And that says the Rashi, in Rashi's Pirush over there, of the Al Yitalel, Shechachmato Ein Ela Mikalkelet. All he does with his great wisdom and understanding and expertise is to ruin things. The Fishikli HaMikdash Api Agvura Nasu. Hakol Bechtav Miyad Hashem Alay Yizkiyo Kol Melechet HaTavni. Many times, and therefore these things could never be replaced. That's why he treated them with such clear cover that all of a sudden, in the middle of all this, we're talking about Nechoshet Kelim, two Nechoshet Kelim. What's the big deal? The Gemara sees this as a very big deal indeed. So in a sense, this was the Hashlama. We've noted the musical motif that then throughout. This was the Hashlama of the restoration of the music to the Beit HaMikdash through Ezra. And so in having given it to them, Va'omran, remember it's all first person narrative. And I said to them, says Ezra, Va'omraliyam, look, I'm giving this to you because Atem Kodesh Ladunai, Va'kelim Kodesh. It's not for something that is of a level of Kedusha to be the Shmira on Kedusha. And therefore, you have to relate to it like that. This is not, it's not a business deal where you're being hired for Shmirah. It's part of the actual Avedas HaKedash that you as Kohanim, or as Levim, or as both, according to those Mefarshim, have been selected for. And therefore, this is not just money. This is an actual Nedavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shikdu v'shimru. You have to be on guard with tremendous alacrity. Ad tishkelu lifnei sarei ha-kohanim v'alevim v'sarei ha-avot li-Yisrael b'Yerushalayim. This is your responsibility until you bring it back with exactly the same measurements when you come to the Kohanim and the Levim and the heads of Klal Yisrael who are in Yerushalayim. And this will be done in Halishkot Beit Adonai. Do we know that Trumat Halishka is a special place that even the Beit HaMikdash as well was benyuchat for keeping all of the Machzis HaShekel and the donations that had been given? You're going to there give it over to them, and at that point, you will have to weigh it back and count it back, and it has to equal exactly what I'm giving you here. And so, v'kiblu ha-kohanim v'alevim, they formally accepted the Kohanim and the Levim. Of course, again, a Kohanim v'alevim could also be a reference not necessarily to matching Kohanim and Levim, but that we called Kohanim, Kohanim and Levim. So Mishkal HaKesev V'Hazahav HaKilim, they took it by weight, Lahavi LeYerushalayim LeBeit Elohim. V'Nis'ah Minahar Ahava. So we then left our encampment on the banks of the tributary of the Nahar Ahava River. And it was on the 12th of the month of Nisan, B'Shem Asar LaChodesh HaRishon, Lelechet Yerushalayim. V'Yad Eloheinu Hayta Aleinu. And indeed, we saw the Nisim of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us. V'Yatzilenu Mikaf Oyev V'Orev Al HaDarech. And we were protected from those pirates. We know about the plan of the Kutim to waylay them, to take all of this money. V'Anavo Yerushalayim. And there too, when we came to Yerushalayim, we first, before attempting to do anything, rested for 3 days. We saw before that the Gemara actually learns from your din of needing to take a break at the end of a trip. So we sat there, V'Neshev Shem Yamim Shosham, V'Yom HaRevi'i, Nishkal HaKesev HaZahav HaKilim V'Beit Eloheinu. And that was the first thing that we did, was on the fourth day, went into the Beit HaMikdash, and all of this was then counted out. Al Yedei Meremot Ben Uriah HaKohen was the Gizbar, together with Elazar Ben Pinchas, V'Imahem Yozavad Ben Yeshua, V'Noadya Ben Binui HaLeviim. So there too there was an Achrayut on counting out the money from a Gizbarut that was connected both to the Kohanim HaLeviim. Everything was counted and everything was weighed. B'Mispar B'Mishkal LaKol. You'll note that at the time of the Binyan HaMishkan, we also find a tremendous stress in Moshe Rabbeinu's, the need for Moshe Rabbeinu to give an exact accounting of every last piece, to the point where we have that problem with the 1776, the missing pieces he couldn't remember. He used it for the Vavei HaModim, and they're talking about tens of thousands of things. He's going crazy over there. People are accusing him of stealing it. So that all of the concept of the Omanim was together with the whole story of the Ne'emanut and the accounting itself. And these two things clearly are related. And so we counted it out, weighed it out, and Vayikatev Kol HaMishkal Ba'edayin. At that point, we actually wrote down, so that it should be noted for the future, that this was the name of each unit, and this is how much it weighs. It wouldn't be any hanky-panky in the future either. And then, Habaim Me'ashvi V'Ne'agola Hikrivu Olot L'Elohei Yisrael. Those who now were returning and came back from the captivity brought the following korbanot as olot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Purim Shnei Masar Al Kol Yisrael. We already saw before in the days of the Chanukah of this first version of the Binyan that they brought 12 and it was Al Kol Yisrael. It wasn't clear what it was meant to be. And besides that, there were also Elim Tishim Vishisha. So there were 96 rams. Kivasim Shivim Vishiva. 77 sheep. Now it says a very strange thing. Tzifirei Chatat. Shneimasar. So it was Seirim. 12 Seirim. And then it says Hakol Ola. Apparently 12 Seirim is Chataot. And then a minute later you claim that they're all Korbanot Ola. This doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara discusses this. And Gemara, we spoke about this a little bit earlier when we were talking about the first Korban. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean Hakol Ola? Hakol Ola, Salkadaita, it's a Gemara in Huriot. How could you say it's Hakol Ola? If you just said that Salkadaita, Efshe Shechatat Ola, what is that supposed to mean? It must therefore be an identification of which Chataot it was. So it has to be Hakol Ki Ola, that just like the Ola is Lo Ne'echelet, Avchatat Lo Ne'echelet. There's very subtle remozim over here. But the simple understanding of the Gemara is that we need to identify these as chatot and nisrafot. so that they're burned completely like normally chattas is eaten by the kohanim. So then we have to think to ourselves, so what kind of chattas was this? Well, the only time that we could possibly bring sirei chatat for all of Yisrael would be sirei avodat kohavim. If that's the case, then calling them hakol olot is dramatic, because we know that when it comes to anything besides avodat kohavim, the korban that is brought as a par helam dover shel tzibur is indeed a par, and there it's brought a par is brought as a chatas. But if that chait is avodah zarah, so there still are parim, but they turn into olot, and now what used to be a par becomes now a soyer. Then we find exactly the same strange relationship. First, it talks about parim shneimasar, takes tzvirei chatat shneimasar, and now puts them together as a kol olot. So it really does seem to be pointing directly to this particular type of korban. Now, what could that be? The Gemara brings a proof from here that it seems to be going only according to Rambam Yomar, who holds that every one of the Shvatim gives separately the par for normal par halam dover or sirei avodat kochavim. So then that works out very well, because as Shmuel said, what was this coming as a takona for the avodah zarah that had been done during the period of Tzidkiyo? And remember, that was the whole horrible story where they used to keep the two pieces they have, Avodah Zarah, behind the door, so when the door opened up, you never saw Avodah Zarah. Something like the TVs that are done today in religious homes. You know, as you open up the door, the TV slides into it. Then you close the door, it comes back out again. That's what they did with the Avodah Zarah. And Tzidkiyo wasn't aware of the fact that there was such a kilkel that was going on. And because of that, there were all of these, this had started, of course, before, where there was such a wonderful attempt by Yoshio, and he didn't know, and he got killed because of this. But Tzidkiyo also thought that he had managed to be yoker. He hadn't managed to be yoker. As we saw, the Gemara asked, but wait a minute, how can you bring korbanos if everybody that worshipped is dead? Isn't it 70 years later? The Gemara points out, obviously they're not dead, because we had so many people that were still alive, because it was the sound of the crying was greater than the sound of the celebration. So that isn't a problem, that so many of the people had died. Besides which, the Gemara wants to deal with this as a proof that a tzibur never dies. It doesn't matter how many centuries later, you still bring a korban for a tzibur. Fine. Question is, what about if you hold that only the Beis Din HaGadol brings, why did they bring 12? So there the Gemara says, well, maybe you could say that they did 12 separate acts of Avodah Zarah that needed to have a tikkun. But in the end, as we mentioned before, the Gemara shows that this anyway doesn't make sense, because where do we have a Horah Big Deep? This is that was done by Mezid. There was no Horah. There was nothing that was done by Shogun. This is the Gemara that it's clear, therefore, that this is all Horah Atsha'a. And that means that Ezra saw his Aliyah to the Beit HaMikdash as being, as we pointed out before, a new Chinuch, in which he would now be mitaken the level of Kiddusha of the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to just the celebration of the physical binyan, and therefore brought special karbanos, just as we saw earlier, just as we had at the time of the miluim. These were karbanos that were never brought again. They were only miyuchat for that show. Just as the Gemara explains the karbanos at the time of Yecheskel don't make any sense for the Bayat HaShlishi, they're also Hora'at Sha'af for the Chinuch. The proof of it, says the Gemara, Chinami Mistam, obviously. It has to be Hora'at Sha'af, because how else do you explain these 77 kvasim, the 96 alim? It doesn't make sense anyway. There's no such korban, really. So it's got to be that there was a special cheshbon about these things that was Alpi the Deviut, and was given here, or Alpi his vision, and was given here as a Ra'at Sha'a, and therefore this is a completely new beginning. It took all of this time to finish up the 70 years to the Churban Yerushalayim, that then you could actually build, and the building itself took time, and the Chinuch, and now came the Aliyah of Ezra immediately afterwards, where Atachshasta renewed, assuming his Dagavish renewed, the license that was given by Koresh. The way that Chazal view it is that he himself was aware of the fact that the problem was the lack of Kedusha. And that's why he keeps saying to Ezra, you have to use the Kayach of your Torah, your insights. You're not just going up there, you're a Malamed. You're supposed to see to it that there are Dayanim and Shaftim and that the mitzvahs are Torah Mekuyim according to what it is that you want. It means that the original Shlichut, including all of this money that was being sent, was done with an understanding that this is a completely new attempt at doing something for the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to see the next paragraph. It's exactly the very first thing that Ezra does is he does whatever he could do to restore the Kedushas Yisrael that has become now Mik. With Erev Rav and many different levels of Kilkulim, and this is exactly what he sees it as his business to do. As I mentioned earlier, this is the reason that he's identified with Malachi in the Gemara, because the two of them have this focus on the purity of Yisrael. This is Ezra's whole life, and this is Malachi's Nevi'ahs. And because of that, we're assuming, we don't have any other proof, we're assuming that Ezra is indeed Malachi. Vayitnu et atei hamelech lachashdar pnei hamelech upachvot ever hanahar. After the delivery of everything into the Beit HaMikdash, the next step was to see to it that all of the legalities were covered and that they had the support of the representatives of the king and of the local governors of the Ever HaNahar district. As we saw before, the letter had been written to them by Daryavish. And so they handed over, officially, those letters to those representatives. Because of that, v'nishu et ha'am v'et beit Elohim, that caused a tremendous upheaval, as you can imagine, which they then viewed this as being, whoa, okay, so that means they immediately put them on a pedestal, and as soon as they held them up, as was Daryavish's intent, and did whatever was in their power to do to help them. So at this point, we had a period during which there were no external problems, which left Ezra free, focused entirely on what was wrong internally, and that we shall begin tomorrow.